Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 20th anniversary of the Chilliwack HRC. It's a privilege to welcome you all here this evening. Let's open with prayer, and then Pastor will do his meditation. Gracious Almighty Lord, great is thy faithfulness. When we think back over 20 years, thy faithfulness, Lord, is clearly on display. We think back to thy providing for every need for our congregation. We think of providing pastors to lead us in thy word, to show us thy truth, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. We think of providing for our needs on consistory, for providing the necessary wisdom when in difficult challenges and in difficult situations where through the meeting and through the conversations and through opening thy word together, thy truth would come forth, and that we would be able to act on that and not on our own understandings. We thank thee, Lord, for thy great faithfulness when we think of providing for every committee, for every need that we had as a church. Lord, we stand amazed, we stand humbled, we stand with awe at thy goodness and at thy grace. And we pray, Lord, that thou would continue to bless and lead and guide us. Not that we deserve it, Lord, but out of thy free and sovereign grace. We pray for a blessing on this evening. Go before us and grant that through the evening the theme would be, great is thy faithfulness, not great is our own. Go with us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
been the same at the very beginning of our church and all the days of our existence. He has been that constant. He's the unchanging, great unchanging shepherd who has led us faithfully. That's remarkable because we have given him so many reasons not to. We have many failures, many shortcomings, many sins. But he has not changed in spite of all that. He has not left us to ourselves. He has not forsaken us. Read in verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, is his promise. He has not altered the word that has gone out of his lips. He has not changed the terms of salvation. He's not modified his gospel offer. He's not laid different requirements on office bearers. He's not changed his word. We don't get new updates to Revelation that cause us to go and redact our Bibles. He's the same. And the fact that God in Jesus Christ is the same is such a blessing, congregation. It gives spiritual stability. If the God we confess would change, where would that leave us? We would be confused. We would be perplexed. We would be insecure. We would have no grounding spiritually. The fact that God does not change is also a blessing. It means his word is to be trusted. It's trustworthy. His word is faithful. It's always the same. It's always trustworthy. And the fact that God is the same builds trust in his word, his never failing, never changing word. The word that comes to us over and over again, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, it's the same. It never changes. It calls us to trust him more. The gifts the Lord gives continue unchanged. Ephesians 4, the Lord ascended and gave gifts unto men. He gives pastors, teachers, evangelists, office bearers. He provides. And he doesn't change one day and stop giving. No, he continues to care for his church as he's always done according to his promise. We find it in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Office bearers. And his salvation, as I say, is the same. He doesn't change his gospel. And that's what the name Jesus points to. Jesus means Savior. He is Savior. The same. All these years as we look back. Not only 2 decades, but 2 centuries. 2 millennia. The same. But then he's also the same today and forever as we stand here today, the 20-year mark, and we look ahead into the future, even till the end of time. This we can be sure of. None of what we just said will change. Entire civilizations will disappear. People groups, populations will disappear. But Jesus Christ never changes. And this is the foundational reason for walking as a congregation on the old paths. Theological innovations and tinkering with our understanding of Scripture is so dangerous because what it does is it denies this text. This text is the motive for all evangelism and mission work. We can go out and confidently, unashamedly preach the gospel, translate the Scriptures, fulfill the Great Commission because we know our labor is not in vain because he, who it's all about, does not change. Everything else will change. But the great encouragement for us that God's word won't return to him void is because he doesn't change. You may look around and also look back in history and say, what about the sad reality that some churches fade and die? You go to Ephesus today, there's no church. Did this text fail? Did the Lord Jesus Christ change for those people in those times, for those churches? No, those people changed. Those people began to mistrust His Word. They began to love other things. Their first love grew cold. They grew lifeless. Their membership declined and their doors closed. Question for us tonight. 20 years? Fantastic milestone. Many blessings of God. But how many years are we going to get? The answer to that question will not be whether or not God's going to change. The answer to that question is whether we're going to change. Many churches today are closing. Why? Church in town, been on the news, they're closing and they're all worried about the stained glass windows in that church and fine. Why is that closed? When decades ago, a gospel message of sorts was preached here in Chilliwack in that church, I'm sure. Adrift. Let us pray for grace not to change, but to stick to Him who changes not. He's the same, and our calling is not to deviate from following Him, not to turn from His Word or grow cold. And you do that by staying close to Him. Each one of us personally, to have, to maintain, to nurture a close walk with the Lord. It's critical. We can have all kinds of fellowship, we can have all kinds of unity together on a human level, but if that personal walk with the Lord is missing, there are holes in our midst, it's very bad. We must be close to Him. In your consciousness, in your prayer life, to always be before the Lord in your heart, in your family, in your marriage, in your work, in your church, in your witness, in your walk, to keep Him in focus, to live for Him, to repent before Him, to trust and love Him. Because He never changes, and when you're standing on that rock that changes not, then things will continue with His blessing. That's how we can go forward, and our children can one day, if the Lord tarry, celebrate 40 years and 60 years and 80 years and 100 years, because He never changes. So I say to the younger ones here, who if the Lord tarries and spares you and keeps you faithful, you'll be here carrying the torch when every gray head in this room will no longer be here. The charge to you on an occasion like tonight is, cling to the one in our text. He is your sure guide because He never changes. Tonight we can say with Psalm 126 as I close, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I believe it's written on your program. It's looking back. We can also stand beside Joel the prophet as he looks ahead from the bleak picture of his own day to what will yet one day come. And he says, and we can say it with him, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will in the future do great things." He's done it for us, and He will continue to do it for His name's sake. And He will in the end of time do great things for His church, bringing them all together to be with Him. So, Paul says, shall we ever be with the Lord? And then, what a thought that there will be anniversaries of sorts. Yeah, it's a timeless. Eternity is timeless. We don't mark years. But the anniversaries, if you will never end. Because He never ends and He never changes. He's Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, and today, and forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. One other thing, I'd like to welcome the folks that are listening online. We know that Burns Lake is with us, and there's a number of shut-ins and other people listening to welcome. Sorry that the audio didn't work at first. I hope it's working for you now. I'd like to invite the Sunday school kids to get ready while we sing the next two songs. The first is Great is Thy Faithfulness, and the second one is 140. So we can start with Great is Thy Faithfulness. like to call on the youngest Sunday school classes first, and then when that's done, the little older ones will go. Thank you so much, Sunday School classes. It was beautiful to hear your voices and to hear those young voices sing about how God is over all. Let's all remember that with them. What I'd now like to draw your attention to the screen. Pastor Alsout, our first pastor, and then Pastor Claver will be bringing greetings to us. And we know that they're listening. So I'd like everybody to say, hello, Pastor Alsout, and hello, Pastor Claver. So Josh, can you cue it up, please?
Very special occasion of the 20th anniversary of the existence of the congregation. And to say that my thoughts are multiplied is an understatement. As I reflect on the period that I was privileged to be your pastor, to be an under-shepherd of Christ in the midst of your congregation. Unforgettable was the time when the Lord so clearly bound your congregation upon my heart and led me to accept the call you extended to me. And as I reflect on the 7 years from 2005 to 2012 that I was privileged to minister in your midst, I do have very fond memories. Most importantly, the memory of experiencing God's favor time and again, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, in proclaiming His precious word to you and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have very fond memories of the lovely experience towards us and our family in so many different ways. And we felt very much part of you. And of course, inseparably linked to my pastorate there is the manner in which it pleased the Lord sovereignly to bring that pastorate to a conclusion. And I want to thank you today for how loving you were towards us, how gracious you were towards us when we dealt with the very unsettling reality that my dear wife Joan had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And we so much appreciate as a family still today how graciously you granted us a lengthy leave of absence until it became very clear that I needed to retire to devote all of my time and energy to my ailing wife. However, having to terminate my pastorate in Chilliwack was a very difficult decision, a very painful decision. I felt so bound to you. It felt like you were being ripped away from me. And I must say that it took a long time for that wound to heal. Nevertheless, I do not regret for a moment that I cared for Joan in the final stage of her life. And I recognized very clearly that at that time, my vows to her, my wedding vows, superseded my ministerial vows, at least for the time being. And so I want to wish you God's richest blessing as a congregation. It is so encouraging to me that the Lord has so evidently cared for you until this very moment. And I do wish you God's blessing as a church family and God's blessing upon the ministry of your current pastor, my dear friend and beloved brother, Reverend John Prosay. And I pray that also through his ministry, you may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ may be formed in you, and that also through his ministry, God may be pleased to add many more living stones to that spiritual temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may God keep and preserve you. It is an enormous challenge to be a faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our current culture, a culture that in alarming ways is becoming more and more hostile to biblical Christianity and May God give you and us the grace to remain faithful to our Savior, to our King, to be true to His word. And so may you, as consistory, as a congregation, as pastor, may you continue to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Church, the great Shepherd of the sheep, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and that you may look to Him and so run the race that is before you, and that out of His fullness, out of the inexhaustible fullness of His person and ministerial work, that God may be pleased to minister to you grace for grace. And so, my dear flock in Chilliwack, and I realize what I just said, you of course are not my flock, but I want you to know that you will always have a very, very special place in my heart. I often think of you, and I do hope that in the future, if the Lord spares me, that there will yet be another opportunity for me to visit you and to proclaim God's word in your midst. And so our hope is in our risen Christ, who has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Christ who has promised that the gates of hell shall never be able to prevail against His church. May that be our focus, may that be our comfort. And so, my beloved friends in Chilliwack, I wish you God's blessing, and farewell. Thank you.
Congratulations. I was struck when I got the message that they wanted me to record a greeting to celebrate 20 years of God's faithfulness to you. It seems like time has gone by quite quickly. And as I thought and prayed and considered what passage to read in celebration with you, there was one that kept coming back to my mind and heart, because I think objectively it highlights God's faithfulness to you. And God has certainly shown Himself faithful over the years. From the time of my internship and then to Pastor Elsout's ministry, from my own time among you, and now continuing forward with Pastor Prose, the Lord has blessed and held through so many situations and challenges. But not only is the passage I'm thinking of objectively about what we are celebrating, faithfulness of our Lord, but a bit of my own personal connection as well, which over the years, I still feel just as deeply. Well, Philippians chapter 1, the first few verses. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet or fitting for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart. Well, may the Lord continue to keep us, continue to bless you, congregation, as you seek to follow the Lord. God bless.
Thank you, pastors. And how special it was to hear them again. It seems like they were just here. But how special it is that we can also hear all our pastors that have ever served this congregation in this same evening. Now, I'd like to encourage everybody to sing along with the next two songs, How Great Thou Art, and I'm sorry, I don't have the program in front of me, 213.
When you get asked to be a historian, it does make you mark 20 years of time. I don't feel like a historian yet, but Chris and Judy and Joyce and I met together and came up with kind of our memories of 20 years of God's faithfulness. I would like you to add memories as we go along. So it's not just me talking about our memories, but it's as you have memories of 20 years of God's faithfulness, let's please share those as we go along. So first meeting for worship was November 2, 2003, with Pastor Greendike leading the services. Providentially, all the details from the very beginning, organ playing, nursery organizing,
this one work? There we go. Youth group? Did I mention youth group? Yeah. And many other things. It was amazing to reflect on how quickly and how diverse the gifts from the very beginning and continuing to this day. Hall, Iowa was the overseeing consistory at the time. Then we got to May 2, 2004. Pastor Niels instituted the congregation, the first consistory, were elders, Dad and Henry Jansen, Herb Kroll, deacons with Bernie Den Hertog, Kristen Hertog, and Matthew Koster. From November to on, there was a large variety of pastors that came weekly. Bert Stamm's airport taxi service put on many miles to Vancouver Airport and back. I don't know how many trips. He may know how many trips. I'm not sure. It was a lot of trips, a lot of faithfulness there. Pastor Claver's internship, that's to January 29 to May 22, 2005. We remember that time of much spiritual growth in the congregation. A lot of people that have had come to and we're growing in grace through that. Pastor Elsout was installed on July 29, 2005, continued spiritual growth and really becoming established as a congregation and becoming established in the HRC as well. So then our question is, what do we remember from worshiping in the SDA Church? What are some thoughts? Some memories, those of you that were there. I'm not trying to make people old. Yes, carrying psalters up to the balcony every Sunday, absolutely.
Going at 5 o'clock in the morning and opening the door so it'll be cool enough.
trying to cool it down, yes. Say it again. Yes. Yes, I actually have that in my notes. Kids running around in the front grass by the road there. Absolutely. Yeah, we all babysat. I remember babysitting there as well with varying success.
I remember babysitting with Pete Slovak one time.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I remember the balcony being so full that you couldn't open the sanctuary doors because it wasn't built So it would sag. So if the balcony filled up before you opened the sanctuary doors, you couldn't get in the sanctuary. It was time to find a new building at that point. I remember the small consistory room upstairs where when you stood up to pray, you couldn't stand up because of the slope of the roof, so you had to bend forward, which was. I remember teaching catechism in the balcony while sermon discussion happened in the sanctuary. So you had to be quiet for sermon discussion. You also had to teach catechism quietly because otherwise you'd have interference. The mic, remember when the pastors would walk in and the mic would interact with the speakers and you'd get this shriek, like this was very, very big shriek when it came out. So the struggling with that. And then installing AC in the building. Weekly sing-alongs, always ending with Psalter 4:30, as we will this evening.
Just one other item.
Yeah.
When it comes down to the mic and so, they gave us a key to their music or to their sound room that we were supposed to, that's where they had their mic and everything. And every once in a while on a Sunday, that wouldn't be there. So we had no way of opening that door up. So in the end, we ended up buying our own equipment.
Yes. The mic. Not having a mic, not the mic issues, just not having one, was also an issue. Yeah, growing pains, we called that. But a time of much spiritual growth. I see why I tied this thing up for you, Pastor. It's not comfortable. A little bit. Pastor Elsoat's farewell on July 9, 2012, as he nicely talked about in his video message, but he did not serve us for a while before his farewell due to Joan's sickness and left an emotional time, I think for all of us. It was a difficult time, for sure. Pastor Claver was installed on May 7, 2013. Shortly after that, Pastor David Van Brugge did an internship from July 11 to August 6. Of 2013. Through Pastor Claver's ministry here, continued spiritual growth, connection with youth and those that were unchurched, many adult baptisms in that time. We also moved to Cook's Church in 2010. What do we remember about worshiping in Cook's Church? Right, living up to the name. That's the first point there. Living up to the name, it was hot. It was painfully hot. Yes, snow slides. Good. Yeah, rolling up his sleeve. Yeah, it was getting a little bit warm.
Keeping grandkids off the street in the front.
Yes. There was also a road issue there for sure. Putting a fan right behind the pulpit, right here, so that. There would actually be enough oxygen. Yeah. Yes. Yes, remember that? We had to change our worship time earlier, so we had to be gone. We had to be out of the sanctuary at 10:30 because they were coming in. So we couldn't, there was no overtime. We had to be done by 10:30.
The odd car trying to come in the parking lot while we're leaving and making it very clear that not every member of Cook's appreciated us renting the building. The majority did, but not everyone.
Yep.
I remember after church,
us
sliding the Christmas tree back into the
sanctuary. Yes. I have that down too. The hay bales and Thanksgiving. Yes, the hay bales and the Christmas tree and the wall hanging. Yep. But the pipe organ was you know, it wasn't all hay bales and Christmas trees. The pipe organ was good. The fans, remember the extension cords? I think, Troy, you made the cords. And then all the fans that we had to truck in and out.
We raced to church. We had, like, 2 out of 7 fans.
Yes. Yes, it was high. Yep. Catechism classes having to be very quiet when we left because... Yes. Yeah, church in a tote is what it was. It was church in a tote. It was a lot of work, but Thanks. It's the point about God's faithfulness to us as a congregation and providing for our every need in every detail in amazing ways. Like, even if you think about our church family today, how many specialized gifts that just for worship service, but for all the details of church life is amazing. It's amazing. And cooks, we also installed air conditioning that froze our feet. And I never quite made it up to where we breathed it in, but it was cold about from the ankles down, which was nice. The slope of the sea, it wasn't designed for air conditioning, I don't think. Okay. Where's this? The lighthouse. What memories do we have from the lighthouse? So the lighthouse, for those that were not with us, was at Klutz Farm when we didn't have a building. I don't think we rented. I don't think they're here. I think we used the top of their kind of machine shed area and changed it into a youth room. And we called it the lighthouse. What are some memories from the lighthouse? Yes. Yes, it made it for an active driveway on Friday night.
Yeah. I think we finally donated all the couches that we used to have up there.
Yep.
Yep. While doing this particular youth event, we had peanut butter, marshmallows, I don't know, bottle, and the plumbing, we didn't realize it, was not hooked up or the bottom. And so everything that the kids washed down the sink there ended up in their downstairs bathroom on the floor.
We'll just leave that like that. We'll call that growing pains, I think. Growing.
I remember the Scottish games where we had men wearing skirts for the only time in HRC.
Highland games, yeah. Okay. Kids Club was also there, I believe, at the Lighthouse Youth Group. Yeah. Then in October 23 of 2018, we moved into our current building. I'm just wondering if we have initial thoughts of our current building when we walk through it for the first time. The maze. It's slowly becoming a little less mazy for sure, but also the amazing financial support that we could purchase this building with loans from members and not loans from the bank. And then all the continued work, the upgrading that continues to happen, and the blessing of being able to... when we moved in, wondering if we'd ever need the balcony, and to where we are today with a full balcony. Again, great is the faithfulness of the Lord in providing step by step by step and providing this building also, which we added AC to for the third time, and hopefully not a new one for a long time.
We had $35,000 in our building account. You talk about God being faithful. There's a really good
story. Yeah, I'll just say that into the mic. So when we looked at this building, it was $1.9 million. We had $35,000 in the account. We bought the building for $1.7 million with loans from members, no loans from the bank. Yeah, through... All the mean, it's amazing. It's great is the faithfulness of the Lord.
I remember being at a consistory meeting and Corey mentioning that there's a church for sale in Chilliwack, which was just, we were praying for something like that. It was just an absolute amazing thing that someone would actually sell a church. And I remember asking who the listing realtor was. Corey. Sitting across the table, right? So.
Yeah. Amazing.
I do remember standing up in this corner over here the first time we came in as consistory to look at this, and I just remember thinking, how can this be for sale? Like, this is a beautiful sanctuary. It's for sale. Like, how?
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. Then Pastor Claver's farewell on August 23, 2020. And Pastor Proce was installed on March 28 of 2021, but he came in January, And you can tell those pictures are off a screen. So we had memories, I think we'll say, amazing or not amazing, just when we think back at that time, just the challenge of church and church leadership in this time was amazing. Then Pastor Claver was officially installed on March 28. Our Pastor Prose was officially installed March 28, 2021. And God's faithfulness continues through the clarity and the gospel preaching, continued spiritual growth, evidenced in visits, many visits, family visits, and others. Again, great is the faithfulness of the Lord. We're just called to pause and to see the mercy and the grace of our Lord. Continuing on to today and continuing forward, the different ministries and ways that God's word is brought in through the church, through Bible studies, Sunday school classes, catechism classes, confession of faith class, adult Bible doctrine class, parenting evenings, sermon discussion, prison ministry, prayer meetings, church library, side-by-side ministries, marriage course, joy ministry, outreach, Sundays, men's breakfast, youth groups, sermon audio. I wonder, Chris, if you can give a little update on that, because that's an interesting...
Sermon audio has really become, quite a ministry. Just to give you a little of some stats here, we've been using Sermon Audio for 19 years. We first audio streamed on September 25th in 2005. The first video posted was February 8th, 2020. We have 1,562 sermons posted as of last Sunday. And to date, we've had 104,087 plays to date. So it gives you a small idea of, how important it is. So some other stats, that's the what's on Sermon Audio that you can download or listen to. But then we've got the webcast report. And as of April 1st to April 27th of this month then, 348 viewers. We reached 17 U.S. states and 7 different countries. So I thought, well, I'll go back to January the 1st. So going back to January 1st, we've had 1,897 viewers. We reached 32 U.S. states and 15 different countries. And some of the countries, Mexico, Egypt, the Netherlands, there's Bermuda, there's United Kingdom, there's Scotland. It's amazing where the people listen to our sermons. It's just a little idea of how far and how we reach people just through sermon audio. And I think that it's become a very important ministry on its own.
You want to just update on Burns Lake?
Okay, on Burns Lake, for all of you people that are on your way to Alaska, there is a group in Burns Lake we all know that would love to host you. And they are now renting a building in Burns Lake. It's the St. Paul's United Church. Their services are every Sunday from 10:30 and 2 p.m. They have a potluck for lunch, which is very well attended with a lot of the people there. And to date, there are about 30 to 40 people that come together on the Sunday. And of course, they are part of our live stream too. So not only do we have the stats here, but we don't know, for example, how many people are listening even though they're gathering together. So that's basically what... Yep. They would love to have you up there. They're they're more than happy to host you.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you. Sure. Just some, and probably miss in that list some more of the ministry.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention too. Some people have... kind of maybe wondered why we have our prayer day on a Tuesday night in March. And the reason for that was that when we rented the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, Wednesday was their prayer meeting night. So we were not allowed to use the church on a Wednesday. So we ended up deciding, well, we'll do it on a Tuesday night. And it's always been like that.
It's hard to change things like that. Then other church events, just highlight church family camps, garage sales, cookie dough fundraisers, meatball fundraisers, youth camps at Cultus and at Monk, Bark, youth events, men and women's retreat. So I just want to read this verse from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." In the context of this chapter, the Israelites cry out to God. They see the error in their way. They see their sin. They cry out to God. In verse 4, that Israel listens to what Samuel's saying to them, to say, repent from your sins, turn from your sins, and God will bless you. That's Samuel's message to them. They turn from their sins. God blesses them in a powerful way. The army, I believe it's Philistine army, comes to conquer them because they're getting together to pray. And God sends thunder and lightning, and then they conquer the Philistine army. And Samuel comes back from that, and he takes a stone to say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." He's concerned that, or he could be concerned that they're going to look at this conquering and say, "Look what we've done. Look how great this is. Look at who we are." But he says, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So I think on this evening, and when we look back on 20 years of faithfulness, we too have to stop. We have to repent from our sin. We have to flee to the Lord. He promises that he will help us. And when we look back, we say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Thank you.
Should work. Brad?
Hello? Okay, thank you so much for the history. And it really striking how the Lord has been with us all these years and continues with us to this day. I'd like now to call everybody to sing Standing, Amazing Grace, and then Psalter 266, all standards, stanzas. Amazing Grace and Psalter 266.
Thank you.
just a few words of thank you. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you to the whole church family for 20 years together in God's faithfulness. Thank you to those who worked hard to put this on. Thank you to the kids who sang. Thank you to the musicians and everybody involved. But most of all, we need to thank the Lord for 20 years of faithfulness to this very moment. I'm going to be closing with prayer, and after I close, I would like everybody to stand and sing Psalter 430. And I have to say that this is our anthem as a congregation. And I'd like to read the first two verses of Psalm 150. That's what this Psalter is based on. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. We are seeing some of those mighty acts today when we watch that video. And our former pastor is speaking to us, but also in Bill and Chris's presentation, the acts of the Lord. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Congregation, how can we not say that the Lord has been great and faithful for 20 years? Our pastor challenged us to look forward. Where will we be in 20 years? Where will you and I be in 20 years? And are we ready to serve the Lord forever in heaven by God's grace as a forgiven sinner? It's my prayer and the prayer of all of us that not one of us will go forward not knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is in their life. Confess and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty righteous Lord God, we just thank thee and praise thee for thy faithfulness, for thy loving kindness and tender mercy day by day to us as a congregation. O Lord, we thank thee and praise thy holy name for the mighty deeds that thou hast done. O Lord, as we reflect over 20 years, it is but a speck of time, and yet thou hast been so faithful. O Lord, we think of those tonight who are with us that have also experienced sadness in these 20 years, and we pray that thou wilt continue to be a comforter. O Lord, we also think of the little children tonight who have been born into this congregation and know nothing else, and we thank you for them. O Lord, thou hast been so gracious. Thou hast continued to be with us day by day by day. O Lord, we pray that we will also be faithful to thee in our attendance, in our worship, and in our lives. O Lord, forgive us, for we can never match up to thy faithfulness, but we pray that thou wilt allow us to try to lead lives that show thy kindness and tenderness to others. O Lord, we also think of the opportunities thou hast given us as a congregation in this community, as a light on a hill. O Lord, please keep us from putting a bushel over our light, that we might shine forth the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we end tonight, we pray that thou wilt go with each of us, that thou wilt watch us and bring us safely to our homes, and that thou wilt also allow us to rise up again in the morning and to join together in thy sanctuary, in the congregation of Chilliwack HRC, and praise thy holy name. O Lord, be with our pastor also as he gets ready for tomorrow. O Lord, give him a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit. And O Lord, we also place him before thee. We, the congregation, have heard that he has been called, but Lord, help us also to call him to Chilliwack. It's a twofold calling, O Lord, and we pray that our brother would also be able to remain with us. We pray that in that too we will see thy faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 4:30. Please rise and let's let our voices shake the ground.